Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah.
That's definitely how I feel today, family. This has been a very interesting day, a very interesting week, very, very revealing, needless to say. Lots going on all over the world, and very interesting to hear Eddie Grant talk about some things that are going on right now. And would you believe this particular recording is like 40 years old or something like that? But isn't it interesting that some of our music just the time just is right there. You know, Marvin Gaye, Nina Simone, and others. Seems like no matter what they're singing or talking about, it's relevant to what's going on, to what we're doing, thinking, and so forth. So again, living on the front line, needless to say, what's going on in Africa, what's going on in Haiti. What's going on in Palestine, as Eddie Grant just talked a little bit about that 40 years ago, roughly. At any rate, you probably heard the foot doctor mention this particular cut sometimes when he comes on, and now you hear it. If you're not familiar with it, you now hear it. But this is Living on the Front Line in the 21st century. Well, tonight's program is going to talk about that front line as it pertains to Chicago, as it pertains to Philly, as it pertains to New York, as it pertains to Chicago. We're going to talk about some things that's going on all over the country that's affecting Black folks, and certainly the issue, the conversation about reparations, reparatory justice. We're going to talk very shortly with our brother, Raven Fellows, who is one of my official ambassadors. Yep. Me and Woman World Mark, we kind of put things on hold for a moment because after doing some assessment and evaluation, we realized it was best to do what we wanted to do next year instead of this year. Why next year? Several things. One, the presidential election. Oh, yeah. Well, you know, of course, that doesn't really mean a lot to us in that manner. However, from an organizing standpoint, oh, yeah, no doubt about it. Needless to say, we're going to do in March the National Black Women's Political Convention. And at that point, we will, as Black women, come up with a political agenda that we will vote on, agree on, and have it ready for when they go to Chicago in July. Yep, you're doing your national convention in Chicago. See how this all kind of ties in? So we knew it was best to wait to do things next year. Now, for our haters that are listening, I know y'all thought that, you know, y'all had something to do with that. Well, guess what? Yeah, didn't. Hey, family, when we start revealing to you some of the other things that have happened in this past year, or a couple of years, but needless to say, this past year to really grow a wrench in what we were doing, and it really turned out to be in our best interest. By the way, you're going to be hearing us talk about very soon something that we weren't anticipating, but as a result of waiting, we now have the opportunity to do something in Jamaica. Yep. We're going to tell you about something really, really incredible that's getting ready to happen in Jamaica next year. And some other things, too, that we've been working on. For example, you know, we said in recent times that we were really watching very carefully, particularly the people who talk about black this, black that, justice this, justice that. And most people talk about they love black women. Well, let me tell you, I can't wait to share some of the responses that we've gotten over the past years from some of these various entities that have talked about how much they love this and love that. They don't know. We were really kind of monitoring what was going on with some things. And we're going to be sharing some of that real, real soon. We've been doing some own indirect kind of survey polling. Anyway, we're ready to introduce to you something that we've been working on. Now, you could have spoken about the Lunar Woman World March. Well, it is coming. As a matter of fact, from next week, we're going to give you some real specifics. Getting ready to go to D.C. to start, you know, putting some things in place. And so we'll tell you about some things very, very soon that we've been working on and that is ready to go, including the Million Woman World Music. See, we figured there's several ways to go about doing some things, including how to raise our own money, because we know that entertainment is a big thing. Music, all of that, arts, culture. Well, we know that that crosses the board. It's a language within itself, and it's something that everybody can relate to. So while some might not like the Million Woman March, and believe me, we know there's a whole bunch of them. You know, there's a whole bunch that do, too, by the way. But we know that we have a lot of haters. But guess what? We figured out how to get through them, by them, around them, over them. And that is to create areas that we know that people are going to want to support, appreciate, embrace. Anyway, we're going to tell you about that a little later on. But moving right along for tonight, we're going to talk to, again, Brother Rebusel, who is going to share with us what's going on in Chicago. Some call it Chirac. But very interesting, because as we pay closer attention to what's going on in some of these other cities or the cities that we are connected to, what you're going to find is that some of these things are relevant to wherever you're living. If you're living in a black community or around a black community, Chicago is a perfect example, because with what we're seeing now with this influx of what's called migration, immigrants / migration, when we see the monies that are now being made available to accommodate housing, health care, education. Now, note, this is a very slippery slope. Very, very interesting, because the way this game is being played, they really want black folks to kind of turn or show some kind of, whatever to other folk of color. Now, I'm going to use that term in this case, y'all. I don't use that term in terms of us, but in other folks, I will. And so, you know, that's intentional, by the way. Now, you also notice that you're not seeing a lot being extended to other so-called immigrants, particularly when we talk about Haiti and even African. But I digress. We'll go back to that point a little later on. But this is a very diabolical move. Now, of course, most think that we're not smart enough to be able to kind of approach it in some very, progressive kinds of manner. And because many of the groups and organizations all over the country are really engulfed in this whole idea of the Rainbow Coalition concept, whereby, you know, everybody's issues tend to now connect in such a way that you almost can't tell the difference between one thing and another, Well, that too is intentional. But, of course, some of us are not going to let that happen like that, meaning the issue of reparations, for example. Reparatory justice is very distinct, even though we know that a lot of people are throwing a lot of stuff in that mix. But there's one thing or two things that will be undeniable, and you're not going to be able to mix it in no matter how much you try. And so with the Recharge Genocide 21, we're going to make sure that that position is made very, very clear as we proceed. By the way, in about another week or so, a week tomorrow, we will be observing, looking at what is known as International Human Rights Day. And so, again, what we did with the We Charge Genocide 21, we kind of put things on the back burner for a minute for several reasons, because we needed to really fine-tune some pieces to get it ready for next year. Once again, next year ends up being a very important year because it also is the finale, more or less, for what's known as the International Decade for African People. Now, what we found is that many of the groups and organizations in our community, they don't know nothing about that. That we find very interesting also, given the fact that you have so many different groups and organizations, yet in most Black communities, these things are like just not even there. You know, they know nothing about it. So what the We Trust Genocide 21 project decided, it was very important to make certain that we begin to do things in our communities. So next year, as we do the Million Women World March tour, we will also be going into communities nationwide and sharing information about human rights from the perspective of Brother Malcolm X and Queen Mother Moore and Paul Robeson and others. We will be doing educational sessions, information sessions, also training sessions, so that folks that are really interested in being activists and advocates can really get involved based on the information that they will be able to get one-on-one, virtually too, but also in their community. We're finding that while the technology is you know, very helpful, very convenient, for some reason there is the lack of just, there's a certain vibration of us coming together. And again, a big shout out to our brother Ray Ray and the crew with the Mackey Study Group, because again, you know, to have us come together is so important. Even though we're using the technology, it's still so important. Also, big up to my sister Keisha, again, excellent presentation, both for the Mackey Study Group and also, of course, for Thorough Black Talk, and she's right on point in talking about this past week how important our music is, which is why, again, I started off with something that you'd have to be deaf, I mean, really deaf mentally, to not feel the vibration of living on the front line. It's an interesting story that goes with that, in that, I'll give you that a little later on. Again, that piece is like 40 years, happened like 40 years ago. But again, like what's going on in other things, it is so relevant. So again, what Sister Keisha did this week is really, really important, and last week as well, or the previous week, and that is to talk about the importance of our music. And so it's interesting because with MWM, we've been working on several components and realized that to create our own music, and that's one of the things you're going to hear us and see us bring forward next year, and that is musical compilations, because as we travel, we're going to be doing auditions with sisters who want to be a part of our arts and culture initiatives. And we have a special piece for young girls, 7 to 17, for the National Black Girls Freedom Choir. And we're looking to feature them in 2025. So again, it kind of fell right in place to some of what we've been working on. MWM, for those that do not know, when we did it in 97, we had 1,000 drummers. We had 1,000 drummers to open things up as we went from one location to the other. We had drummers in the front. who brought us in, who, you know, ushered us in. That was my design, by the way. And for those, again, that do not know, to facilitate that particular, this is why it was so powerful, and this is why you have so many who continuously attempt to try to destroy it, because they know that once it is raised up to the level of that I envision and that is going to happen, they know they got something on their hands, and they're not going to be able to deal with it. But again, the person or persons that brought in, as we entered into the first stage of MWM in 97, for those who are familiar with the name Olatunji, Baba Olatunji was as a Million Woman March, y'all. He opened it up, right? Again, this was by request, and again, this was very strategic. If you know anything about African drumming, and for those who don't know, if you continue to listen to this program, you most certainly will, because that's something that we have been doing even way before Million Woman March. I play drums myself, and was also a part of two groups, my own dance troupe, Taisa, and also another group that my brother and I started called Tai Himba, and Tai Himba is still in existence. So for those that do not know, y'all get ready to find out some things that is really relevant to, again, this was never designed to just be a march. It was always to be a movement. And again, there's certain fundamental pieces that assured that we would be able to rise up, evolve, and needless to say, obtain true victory, true justice in the manner that is mandated by our ancestors. So, again, we're going to talk to Brother Reuben Fellows, who, again, is one of my ambassadors. He's a national ambassador, even though he is based in Chicago, and again, we're talking about folks that literally do boots on the ground kind of stuff, not just folks that just, you know, go into, you know, these meetings and these other circles. I mean, he does that as well, but, you know, he's known throughout the Black communities in Chicago. And speaking of that, another one of my ambassadors will be joining us, and his name just happened to be Chairman Fred Hampton Jr. He, too, will be joining us tonight, and, of course, he's going to share with us what's coming up with the annual commemoration in regards to the observance of the assassination of his father, Chairman Fred Hampton. And interestingly enough, we're going to also talk to Chairman Fred Hampton Jr. about COINTELPRO then and also now. Okay, because again, as you may have heard mentioned some time ago, I was recently infiltrated again, and so we now can kind of share with you some of the new types of COINTELPRO that is in our midst, all right? And so Chairman Free is going to also share with you about a recent situation that happened with him as well. But again, we're going to talk about the work of his father and the work that he's also doing. Of course, his trip to Ghana a few months ago and some other things that's coming up. So again, we'll be talking to Chairman Freya very shortly. But prior to that, we're going to talk to Brother Reuben Fellows. And again, we're going to talk about the immigration, migration situation that's happening in Chicago. And again, this is very, very interesting. And again, I had gotten a message from Sister Keisha the other day. She said, yeah, New York too. Well, yeah, we know. All we know is going to be happening to all of these cities where Black folks are. But the question still also has to be, so if they can come up with the money for other things, whatever it is, when are they going to come up with the money for our reparations, our ex-slave compensation? Yes, we're using that terminology as well. Why? Because that's historic. It's historic in the context of Mother Saint Callie House. That's what she referred to it as, ex-slave compensation. And so we're going to also be using that terminology as well. And by the way, two things before we get ready to go to our live line and talk with Brother Reuben. We just looked at the prototype for one of our first educational items for the children. Yep. Hopefully, when we do our Kwanzaa activity this year, which is going to be the day of Kaumba, we will be presenting our first educational item, which is going to be flashcards for grades 4 to 6, I believe it is. And it is going to be reparations for our children from A to Z. Yep, I saw the prototype yesterday, and we're getting ready to go to press. And then after that, we're coming up with our coloring book for the children for reparations, and also a coloring book for the children for our 25 Sister Saints. Yep, so we've been trying to tell folks that this has been some of what we've been working on, and so in another couple of weeks, you will be able to place your first orders for our first educational items. Yep, it's coming, it's coming. Okay, so let me see. Before we check in with Brother Reed, I just want to check something real quick. The other thing we want to share with you is, let me check something here. Okay, I'm making sure that everything is queued up the way it needs to be. All right, I'm not sure. Brother Reed, if you are in queue, I need you to press 1. I'm not seeing you yet. But family, before we get ready to bring Brother Reed in, what I'd like to do is I'm going to play a couple of clips for you before we bring in Brother Reed. And it is in reference to what we're going to talk with him about. And we are going to talk to him about, again, what recently happened in Chicago in terms of the immigrants or the migration. And we're going to also talk to him about a few other things that's going on there. But before we do, again, bear with me, I'm checking on something here to make sure. Okay, I'm not seeing Brother Reed in queue. So let me do this, family. Before I queue up what I want to share with you, and it just so happened to be Dr. Omar Johnson. Yep, Dr. Omar Johnson was in Chicago recently, and he did kind of a report. And I want to share that with you because, again, it ties right in to Brother Reed when he does his presentation. Okay, but before I do that, what I'd like to do, hold on 1 minute, let me just check something here. Okay, before I do that, I'm going to ask you all if you have something you want to share with us, some comment or something else, some information or event or whatever. I'm going to give folks the opportunity to do that before I bring in Brother Reed. I also want to put a special note for tonight. Tonight's program is a salute to one of my brothers who recently made transition, and I just found out a few days ago, by the way, which I'm still kind of recuperating from because I just spoke with him a few weeks ago and did not know he had made transition until someone called me and thought I knew, but I didn't. Brother Joshua Farrakhan, who it's just so funny. I mean, I have so many stories that I could tell about that, but needless to say, he was one of my, when it comes to the nation, he was my brother. He was my go-to person. You know, in most groups and organizations, they're blockers, and the nation is not exempt from that, I have to say that. Even, you know, though Minister Farrakhan and I have had a very, very good relationship over the years, nevertheless, the politics inside groups and organizations is very interesting, to say the least. And so you have a lot of different scenarios that you have to deal with. And over the years, I've had to deal with some of those scenarios. But interestingly enough, Minister Farrakhan was always gracious enough and cool enough to tell me, you know, if I really ever need to reach out to him, I need to just contact Joshua. And 9 times out of 10, I haven't done it in recent years, but in the earlier years, if I needed to do some things, you know, get some information circulated or what have you, you know, through the final call or whatever. Once again, I would call Joshua Muhammad, Joshua's Farrakhan, who, of course, is Mr. Farrakhan's son. And that way it would cut through some of the red tape and the bureaucracy that oftentimes you would run into unless you were really high up on the scale, right? And so, but Mr. Farrakhan always made sure that I had that kind of access to him by way of Joshua. So Joshua and I developed a very, very close relationship. Again, this was a few years back. We kind of lost our contact after he made certain kind of decisions that I couldn't really connect to. But interestingly enough, we had just recently reconnected a few weeks back, and you know, to hear that he had made transition was really kind of disheartening for me. He's one of the few people who, you know, there's some people that really kind of get you. You know, he was one of those people. We had conversations that were just, you know, just right to the point and just clear. And, again, he's definitely going to be missed, I tell you, when it comes to certain kinds of dynamics. Anyway, tonight's program is dedicated to him. And, moving right along. Okay, family, listen, if you have something you wanted to share with us tonight, at this point, again, before I bring in Brother Reed, you can press 1 now and certainly share your information. And then we're going to get down to the nitty-gritty and talk about some things. What's going on in Chicago? And also some other things. And by the way, next week, again, when we talk about International Human Rights Day, one of my brothers, Darryl, another one of my special, special, special brothers, he lives in Detroit, but he also lived in Philly for quite a while. He's right now in South Africa, so he'll be back, I believe. I got to check when he's coming back, but there's a conference in Dubai, United Nations conference, and so he's going to be giving us a report on that when he returns, okay? All right, let's do this before we bring in Brother Reed. Let's go to our lines and talk to you all for a hot minute. We're going to go to caller at 2816. 2816, your line is open. Welcome to the segment of New Day.
Hey, sister, living on the front line.
Yeah.
It was so good hearing that. Actually, it was 44 years ago, 1979. And the thing about that song, he played every instrument and sang everything himself.
Yep.
A one man everything, like Stevie Wonder, you know. Anyway, okay, and the thing with I didn't know Joshua passed. I got a family mm-hmm. star for his brother, because you know Dennis Farrakhan back in the day would let me have his direct cell number, and I was hanging out with Rick James in Atlantic City. I'm not dropping names. I'm telling you who he was, but I was hanging out with Rick James, and he was speaking about the minister trying to incorporate him into becoming a Muslim minister. Yeah, the fuck master, Rick James. In fact, Farrakhan utilized Rick James at his funeral. That's how close they were. And he told me, he said, oh, Big Fox, we close. I called him right now. And he called him. You know, he called him right then. And he answered the phone, you know. But anyway, one other thing. I'm so sick of this word, reparation, because nobody else has to go through changes, jump through hoops and jump through holes hoops to get reparation, but we do. And after all these years, John Conyers out of Detroit, congressman, and Cobra, all these people, man, have been fighting for reparation ever since Moby Dick was a goldfish.
Yep.
Let me say that again. Ever since Moby Dick was a goldfish, we've been fighting reparation. I'm tired of that word, because anybody could just say, you know what, we did these people wrong, they built the country, they even built the White House. You know, go get it. Break them up. Anybody can do that. Biden, anybody. Nobody has done that. So I'm tired of that word, because they don't want to give us that ever. Never, ever. And it's all right, though, because God got our back. Okay? God got us. Okay? We in God's hands. But anyway, sister, it's a hot show already. You start off out of course. And 44 years ago, we aging ourselves, ain't we?
Yeah. Oh,
well,
yeah.
Anyway,
no doubt.
Peace and love, sister. Much love. And we'll talk when we talk. On the move still, and keep on keeping on. Ashe, ashe.
Ashe, my brother. And ashe, and just ashe. So you know, I've learned to honor our ancestors, and what I mean by that is, you know, there's certain words or phrases or whatever that you know, some of us might not want to use or recognize or whatever, but Queen Mother Moore said reparations, and she said it adamantly, and she said, children, go get your reparations. You know, I mean,
but
you
how
know,
long?
So,
exactly, King would say, how long? Not long.
Hey,
okay, sister, peace and love.
Right. Absolutely.
But
you're
they
right,
break us
right.
off in the morning. If they really meant it, they break us off in the morning. Everybody
yeah,
can check
well,
to the bank account overnight.
We know
so
that.
I'm personally, I'm talking about me. I'm talking about everybody else.
Oh,
y'all
yeah.
keep
oh,
on
yeah.
keeping
no
on.
No doubt.
I don't want to struggle from the womb to the tomb. I want to be at peace at some point on this earth and this time. I can't fight every day from the womb to the tomb.
Right. Well,
that's
as
why
you know, some of us are here to do that. And you know, we know that everybody
well,
can't.
Okay. I'm tired of it. I'm sorry. I'm talking about me.
And that's why we
say one more time.
They need to go ahead and sit down and do what they do. But the ones that aren't, they need to do what they do. But anyway,
okay, well,
brother,
everybody won't cut off for that. But I'm just saying what
right
for me.
Moving right along. Moving right along. I got that.
But
every
since
right
Moby Dick was
talk
a goldfish, we've been struggling.
Okay. So now, and as I said, everything is not for everybody, and we get that. But for those who do know what time it is and know what they need to do, you know, again, we salute you and we thank you. So, okay, let's move on and go to caller at 4298. 4298, your mic is now open. Welcome to the segment, New Day.
Thank you, thank you. This is Brother Robert Moses. I'm calling to ask for support for the D.C. Metropolitan Coalition in solidarity with the Cuban Revolution. We're trying to get Cuba off the state sponsor of terrorism list because, you know, they have sanctions on the country and it's really hurting the economy. And it was Cuba who answered when Nelson Mandela was in jail and fought with the Angolans and freed Nelson Mandela after they broke the back of the South African army. And so we owe them a debt of gratitude. And it's just a matter of proletarian internationalism and work of solidarity. And so I just ask for support for them if you can. Thank you.
Ashe. Well, thank you, my brother. You know, interestingly enough, and again, in talking about the Million Woman March, most do not know. And I just find it so interesting that the, you know, the various groups and organizations here in the U.S. that talk about Cuba, there's only a few that I know over the years that have, you know, really showed support for us in that, you know, we introduced to a generation Sister Assata Shakur. See, in 97, that generation of young folks, they didn't know anything about Sister Assata, but the Million Woman March introduced her because we read her message that was delivered to us specifically in English and in Spanish. Because, you know, 20 years ago, we didn't have access to live stream and all of that. And so she sent directly a message to us, a written message, and it was read at the Million Woman March in English and in Spanish. So we definitely agree. Needless to say, we did then and we do today. But again, I just, you know, I have to point these things out because we have to make certain that we no longer continue to kind of, you know, just say things and then not really kind of demonstrate the kind of support. And let me be real clear about that. AAPRP, much love, let me specify, the General Council, much love to them because over these years they have always shown support to us. They have always embraced us, have always included us. But you know, again, you know, a lot of, no, I won't say a lot, but, you know, people that I hear have talked about Cuba and Sister Sada, they never try to build with us. So maybe my brother, maybe you can help me to understand that a little better.
You have a question?
Yeah, I'm saying, can you help me to understand that a little better? Why is it that folk here in the U.S., when you have groups and organizations and entities that support Cuba, Sister Sada, all of the history, and et cetera, why is there never, well, at least in our case, an inclusion?
I know that, you know, the majority of the world supports Cuba and its internationalism, and we know that every year they take a vote, and it's 187-2, Israel and the U.S. being the only people in opposition to them breaking down that barricade and the embargo, and, you know, it's just racism. Cuba Marxism is the race to cure racism, and Cuba is a Marxist government, and obviously, you know, the U.S. is racist, and Israel is racist, and the world, you know, must continue to struggle with them. Thank you.
So, okay, that didn't exactly answer the question, but I got it. But again, I'm saying it seemed that if we're going to talk about solidarity and addressing that issue and helping to end the embargo, it would appear, or I would think, correct me if I'm wrong, that, you know, other people that are in the United States doing that kind of work, it would kind of seem that we would want to include them in that. Maybe not. I don't know. But all right, my brother, I appreciate your comment, and I thank you as usual. Okay, we're going to go to another caller before we get ready to go to our live line, and we're going to go to caller at 0059. Oops, hold on. I'm trying to get your mic open. And it is 0059. Your mic is open. Welcome to the segment of New Day.
Yes. Good evening. This is Brother Washington Sanakawa. Just calling in. Wanted to show appreciation. And that, yes, we have a lot of space for growth. And all we should get is everything that is due to us with interest. You know, so whatever they are willing to start to give, it's not going to be enough. So we have to make sure that we keep pressing the gas to the pedal and not let up, and let our generations knowing that they're coming behind us, to let them know that, yes, they must press the pedal to the metal also, and put pressure and apply pressure across the board.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, my brother, while we have you, what are your thoughts in terms of, we oftentimes, and we're coming up to Kwanzaa season, and of course, people will be talking a lot about the seven principles and unity being the first day. What are your thoughts in that regard as far as unity, meaning, how do you, and I know this is, I know you can't answer the question, but in terms of thinking about it, what do you feel or what do you think we can begin to do to a greater extent to bring about greater unity?
Well, you and I tied together forever. We live basically in a state of community, right? But unity is the aspect of what we need. Harmony is what we need to really be synchronizing ourselves with. We have a tendency to use words like nothing and unity, right? But when it comes down to it, it's not the event itself. It's the preparation before the event. It is the event and thereafter. we've been put in a state of going back to reality or the false reality after we have the kumbaya, the event of unity. And then we go right back to the false reality of putting our head down and, you know, being docile and just trying to make it, you know. They bombard us with so much negative forces and things that don't allow us to look up. In other words, we live in over our heads in a state of debt. We don't know the real reality of the private realm. We strictly work in the commercial retail realm, and basically all we're used for is fodder and consumerism. You know, they bring the products in, they get the wealth, and we contribute to it. Even within our own communities, we don't control the economics in our community. So real unity to me is for us to harmonize, for us to get off of this channel of thinking that subsidy alone, if subsidy never comes, we have $2 trillion consumer dollars and growing. Why can't we put half of that or even two-thirds of that or one-third of that towards each other and determine our outcomes? You know, that's a question for us to work around in our heads. So the answer lies somewhere in there. We strengthen every other people that come here. And now they're forcing these people into our communities. They create these wars abroad, money that should be coming to us in these little hamlets and inner cities. Right? This affects not just our population. Our concern is our niche, right? But it negatively affects the whole country. Now, here's an interesting thing. The oligarch down in D.C. throws one of their members out because he's creating fraud. Well, I can say this about all of them. All of them are fraudulent. They all need to go, you know, but it's a way about dealing with it. If we don't produce as a process to replace, right, there's still going to be a void. So we can't come after people. Our leaders, our so-called elected officials that look like us are just as fraudulent as the other people that don't care about us and don't have an interest in our community. And I say this comes from a certain area, the tax base or the lottery, then that money should go back into that area. That's my statement about unity.
Okay, so it brings to mind what you're saying, and you're right. These are some of the things that we need to look at and kind of examine. So this is why one of the things that I'm introducing as a part of the Black Print Agenda 25 is something that I call practical unity, because practical unity gives us some basic fundamentals in terms of what we can do right here, right now. Because a lot of these other things require all other kind of moving pieces, right? And so what I'm finding is that a lot of times we talk about unity and other kinds of things, but we don't come up with the how. So with practical unity, it literally gives us more of a capability to just utilize what we have right in our midst. For example, one of the things we're proposing right now is that folks get ready for National Black Solidarity Day, which, of course, is over 50 years old, or 50 years that it started in New York. Dr. Carlos Russell started it, and folks literally used to do it. So we're not trying to reinvent any wheel or anything like that. We just want to reactivate some stuff that we know did work. So now, here we have something right in our midst right now called National Black Solidarity Day, where people are asked not to purchase anything for one day, not to spend their money, if possible, not to go to work, not to go to school, not to engage in this system at all. And if they do have to spend any money, we're developing a list of black businesses in every city where people can support that business on that day. Now, note, we're just saying one day to not spend any money with other people. That is doable. It's a plan of action. We're preparing for it now. It happens every year, the day before Election Day. So next year, I think it's November the 4th. We did it this year. My son and I, we didn't spend no money. We didn't go nowhere. We didn't do nothing but with each other. And so, again, and we've been observing it now for about 3 years. But again, we didn't invent this. It was already there waiting for us. So now we're saying to the masses of our people, we have almost 12 months, roughly 11 months, to prepare for all of us on a national level to not spend our money for one day. Now, this, you were talking about unity. This right here, this is unity, perhaps a lot as far as I'm concerned. But it also demonstrates something. It also puts a glitch in the system from an economic standpoint. But it also demonstrates the capability to have some discipline. So here's my point. This is where we now have to take things into the practical application of what to do, how to do it, and when. Okay, so again, family, we're going to be coming at you in the near future on a regular basis with suggestions and other things that we can begin to do to look at the seven principles. Now, tonight we talked about unity because that's the first principle, and we're kind of gearing up, and I appreciate, you know, the brother sharing the information that he shared. But what we also want to now do is begin to ask about how can we proceed to do these things in a more expedited manner as well as to simplify it? And so I just gave an example. Again, I'm not going to say anything that I can't give you an example of. Go ahead, my brother.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Can I say this?
Oh, yeah.
There are actually,
uh-huh.
There are actually two elections in a year. There's a local election in the springtime,
mm-hmm.
an all-powered local. That's where we can influence change without having to pull a lot of energy and a lot of wealth together, right? Because the national elections, if you notice, the people that run for office, they're backed by PACs and super PACs, right?
Mm-hmm.
It takes a large amount of money to run on the national platform, right?
Right.
But the local elections are never looked at as being important, but that's where they subdue us at. And that's where
right.
we can influence change. So the local is usually 6 months after.
So let me interject for one way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, note. From a historical perspective, because again, most if not all of us will agree, history is very important. And to utilize what our ancestors have already given us is a must in this day and age. So here we are. Note. And again, I'm not disagreeing what you're saying. I'm really saying that we already have something that is in place. People used to do it, but after COINTELPRO and other things, a lot of things dissipated. So now, this is what I'm saying. We already have something. We have time now to do it on a national level collectively. Now, here's the challenge that I say to people. When you suggest about doing something, the question then comes into, are you ready to step up to organize to do that? Because when I say certain things, that means I'm literally going to get in and do it. I'm going to organize. I'm going to agitate. I'm going to organize and mobilize and do it again in this particular situation because there's a historical connection. And if you Google Black Solidarity Day, you will see that a black man started this day and he did it specifically the day before the main election. Now, you're absolutely correct that all politics are local. We got that. We understand that. But I'm saying to activate a historical date that's already there in the context of, you know, what it is. Now, once we do that, then we can do a whole bunch of other things. But let's see if we can do that first. Because it gives us ample time to do that because, see, that particular election, everybody is doing that at that time. Every state, every city is doing it at that time. Plus, it enables us to create an agenda prior to that time. From an organizing standpoint. So my point is this, while all politics are local, simultaneously we could be doing various things, but there needs to be a goal, a target time period, a specific. See, what I've learned in organizing is if you have a specific date on something, then everybody's focused. That don't mean that there's not other things that can be going on or should be going on and more likely is going on. But when you have a specific time, date, everybody's on the same page at the same time, you see? And then there's a whole lot of other moving stuff going on. So my point is what I'm proposing, I have the capability to step up and help facilitate it, right? And so my suggestion is to anyone that, you know, if you have something that you think can happen or should happen, then by all means, share it with us. But also note that somebody's got to take on that responsibility. You see?
That's
the side to this.
That's a real cogent point. All I was saying is we could do it twice a year. That's all I was saying, and do it in the same manner in the spring as we do it in the major, you know.
Right. I agree. The only thing I'm saying, brother, is who's going to organize that?
I have no problem doing that. And
okay,
here's what
there
I must
you
say.
Go. There you go.
There should
See,
be
that's
some
what I'm talking about. There you go. All
that
right.
The national time, those that involve themselves, there should be work going on between them 2 points that solidifies and justifies us doing it at the other point. You know, so we don't just disband after we do that one thing. And that should be something that we make sure we keep connected with one another. I'm talking about those that really care. Those that take the time to do it, because one day is a sign, and I'm not against that. We were given instructions in the atonement process through the Mingle Man March to actually have a day of the women staying home, not going to work, right, teaching the children about the significance of that day, right, but moreover, right, it's not about just the events. It's about what we're going to do thereafter. There should be
Absolutely.
Some kind of change in our movement, in ourselves.
Absolutely.
You know,
but here's the reality. Here's the reality,
right.
Brother. See, again, you're right, and that was put out there. But if people don't step up to do that, see, this is
right.
why when you have something that is there, it's historic, and people used to actually do it before
yes.
it was interrupted by the government.
Yes.
So, again,
yes.
you have something to build from that has happened that had consistency. So when you have things like the Million Man March, which, of course, you know, I'm totally – I've always been supportive of – after the second year, that was it. That's not what happened with Black Solidarity Day. It actually continued for several years, for over a decade, actually, until it was literally dismantled. So I'm saying it's designed for exactly what it does. Now, what can happen from it is something that you can grow from it. But it's just like anything else. When these people had their days, they have one day. Now, that don't mean they ain't doing other stuff, but they're very precise, right?
Yes.
So I'm just suggesting that here's something that's already there. We don't have to try to recreate anything. It's already there. It doesn't mean that we can't add on or do other things. But I'm saying that, we tend to want to get away from what is actually there and then build from that. Because we can't even not spend for one day, period. Most folk cannot go without giving their money to the system, period. So to organize that in such a way that people all over the country are doing it at one time, that in itself is kind of monumental. So again, I'm just saying, I know for me, time-wise, I know what I can commit myself to do. Now, if we can get other people who want to do what you're suggesting, I'm going to definitely direct them your way. But
please,
I want you to stay right there.
You know what? Somebody's got to bring up the rear,
Absolutely.
Right. But see, the connectivity
I want you to stay right there because I need to bring Brother Reeve in because he was at an event and he I don't want to lose him. I'm going to come back to you, though, but I want to get him in before he has to go back to what he was doing so that we can get our Chicago report. So let's do this. And bring in our Brother Reeve and fellows, who again is one of my official ambassadors for the Million Woman World March and the We Charge Genocide 21. Hey, Brother Reeve, we got you.
Yes, I'm here. I'm sounding a little weary. I'm slating two or three judges so that we can have our own judge. One brother's Leonard Murray. He's over the housing court for the state of Illinois, for Cook County, for the last almost 10 years. He's over five judges under him. So receivership and housing and foreclosed property, he's in that space. So we're going to be doing a receiver's class next week so we can take over some blocks, and then he is going to be looking for another bigger position. But we've got him and Sister Chelsea. She's running for countywide state judge, circuit court, Chelsea Robinson. She's ran several times, but she writes law for Judge Mathis for the last 14 years. He's no longer doing it, and she's also been her and her husband working at the juvenile detention center with young people for 13 years, and for the last 13 years she's been doing sponsors for Brothers Coming Home. She's out of Roseland, Illinois, better known as the AKA the Wild Hundreds. So she's also a Percy L. Julian graduate, Howard University, HBCU, and she's her husband and her in the ministry. So we have some homegrown. So she's running against somebody died in that spot, and another guy that's Latino's running. So we're now we got to get 2,000 positions, total about 7,000. So we're down to between now and Monday about 1,500. And we're going to get on the petition, and we're going to have two judges that's in the spot. So when we call her, we don't want her to break no rules. We just want to let her know, send our children to my program, Books Over Balls, 100 Black Men. Like when white children go there, they're on drugs and crazy and shoot up everything, they send them to counseling, but our children go to jail. So we're going to put our own judges in so we can everybody know that here comes the judge.
All right. So I know if you're saying it, Brother Reed, they must be all right, because
I'm betting them. I'm betting them. Right. I can knock on their door. I like the picture here, so I can knock on your door. I'm going to be your neighbor.
I know that's right.
But no, we are in Chicago, things happening. We're doing that. And as you know, our mayor is Mexican. He's a black Mexican.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Back up for a minute. By the way, family, y'all know he's been a little facetious, right, by saying that. But I get the message. And so
well,
we're going to go ahead and elaborate on why you just said that.
All right. Well, you elect a brother that's born to be black. He gets elected by the black community. And then he gets elected and do everything for Mexicans. So I call him a black Mexican. His loyalty, he ain't the black, but he's loyal to the Mexicans. That's how we're looking at it. But he's been giving everything to them. He thinks that they're human, too. They need everything. I'm going to make sure they're all right. We're going to all get along. We're going to make sure illegal people come to Chicago that ain't voted, ain't like I'm doing now. I'm doing petitions, running around like crazy. I'll be damned if I'm letting somebody go in front of me and I did all that work and come in and take over the community. So he is supporting that 100%. And now we got our pastors who have lost their minds. Back and him talking about they helping migrants. And everybody at church almost homeless. I'm telling you, almost foreclosed. And outside they door is little Ray Ray and Pook and them trying to stay out of jail. And they bringing Latinos and not Latinos, but Cachapos, sales here and heroin, cocaine through the Latin Kings. And so the Mexican is supporting, I mean, the mayor is supporting it. So I'm assuming he's black Mexican. That's just me trying to figure out. I'm trying to work with him a bit.
Listen, family, you see, y'all know when Brother Reeve come on, we're going to, like, drop it while it's hot and keep it real. Brother Lee, and I kind of gave folks a little prerequisite in terms of what's going on there in Chicago with this. You know, we're not just talking about migration or immigrants or whatever. We're talking about insurgement that's happening in such a way that it's literally – they're talking about millions of dollars being allocated to people who are just getting there. Mm-hmm. Here we have an increase of homelessness there in Chicago, amongst other things. Brother Lee, talk to us. Talk to us.
Well, let me start with homeless. You know, people saying, where are these children's parents at? What are these parents doing? The parents ain't doing this. Well, some parents in Chicago is like my mama. You either do what I say or hit the road, buddy. So now you can't get choked and whooped by your mama. You're going to have to leave because she's going to choke you if she's on old school. You either tag yourself. So these children are leaving the house thinking they lost their mind after COVID and out here in the streets. So literally when you ride around Chicago, mostly 75% of children in Chicago out in the corner are homeless, not with their parents.
Mm-hmm.
Which means they're getting in trouble trying to eat. So that's going on. So then we got veterans here. I'm the co-founder of African American Heritage Museum and Black Veterans Archive, founded Dr. Smith, who's the only black museum in the world that's black owned and recognizes 7,246 African American women who fought and died in Vietnam. They didn't let these people get in front of the veterans. So the veterans fought these other people in other countries. They back in Chicago, the people got signs next to the veterans talking about, can I get something to eat? And so all our people been under the Vidoc for years. They threw all black people outside the Vidoc and then put tents up at the hospital, at the police station. The police is buying them babies and Pampers and everything. It's about 100 tents in front of the door of the police. They inside showering. They use the cell phone plugging into the wall. And a lady was at a meeting the other day said, I don't know, all my life I went to jail to bail somebody out. Well, I went to jail to get locked up. She said, I don't know, in my life where I went to the police station, got a good night's sleep. These people countries that the police has having a good night's sleep while we're getting shot outside the police station by the police, and they there sleeping good. We going there to get locked up for something we didn't do. So this is mental illness at the highest level. And now this is what it's doing. Y'all got to be aware. So you know how we out there on the corner, and black women don't usually do that. This is something I don't see a lot of black women. Black women don't, you'll find a couple, but black women don't bring their children out in harm's way talking about give me no money. They very seldom do that. These white was not there with the babies on the corner in the middle of the street and asking for quarters and dimes and handing out people. And these people don't see that's DCFS.
Oh, my gosh.
So I'm trying to laugh and keep maturing. I'm doing a little comedy because you got to get a little dose of something to keep you from crying and take this pain. This stuff is real. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, these people have taken over the whole community. And yesterday, the pastor stood up there and said, they're helping the migrants and because they're giving the pastors money now. And again, all their parishioners, mm-hmm. Sister Johnson, is getting on the bus to go home with 13 children that she came on the bus with, and everybody in the church going to drive wild in an SUV in a big old van. Talking about, so Ms. Johnson, see you 11. Hope you make it out of the snowstorm.
Wow.
So this is some painful stuff. And last but not least, I hope I'm covering some of the subject matter that you're asking about, but this is real. As Chicago goes, not bad anybody, but everything looks here, what we do, it kind of figure out what y'all next. Or if you were, like you say, Philly, either one or two. But we got some extreme retardation here that ain't nobody seen. 89 black elected officials, the largest in the United States, Cook County, in the west side, south side. We got the first black mayor, first black president, Obama, Carol Moser Braun, so a full state legislator, Bobby Rush, the former Black Panther Party, all these people in this big field, Danny Davis, until we not getting none here, all this is going on here, the NAACP, the Urban League, United Negroes in College Having Fun, and Jesse Jackson Farrakhan, all these people here, Chairman Fred, Daddy Born here, him Buffett, Black United Fund, and Conrad Wero. We here with Nim Cobra, N Cobra, every kind of Cobra. And we getting beat.
Woo! Oh,
so
my God.
In closing, and I want you people to think this is, I'm saying this because this is pain. I'm in the ground. So you hear my practical joking to get rid of pain before I don't go kill somebody. Somebody will get hurt around here eventually if I don't do some get this therapy out of your call tonight. You'll be reading, Brother Reba was an actress, went and knocked out and hurts a whole lot of people tomorrow. But with that being said, this is what's mind-blowing. Everybody's coming here, and this ain't anti-Catholic, I'm finna say. I'm saying to you, everybody's coming here, it's, their religion is Catholic. So ask me this. They closed half the Catholic schools here in Chicago. The archdiocese, they're huge, and all of them have black students, most of them. And as you do know, they was having sex with black boys all over the country while it's going on in the black church. So why wouldn't they bring the Catholic people here and take them to the cathedrals and put them in the schools, which is huge, and then the black Negro preachers think they're supposed to say Catholic people when they're Baptists, Pentecostal, and Methodist, and Church of God in Christ. How the hell do you think God asked you to save Catholics, and they say, call no man father? And I ain't asked to stand like you want it. At the end of the day, the black church ain't the savior for no Catholic church, and they got everything. You got Red Cross, and you got Catholic Charities and Salvation Army, all white programs to help white folk first and black folks second. Black folks got... They got Red Cross and black folk getting damn sure double crossed.
Woo!
So I apologize for being passionate, but this is what's happening here.
Wow. I'm almost afraid to ask you this question, but I got to. On another note, tell us a little bit about the situation with the alderman, the alderwoman. From what I'm hearing, there was somebody there who's demanding the resignation of the mayor. This person was the leader of the floor or something like that, and kind of prevented a sister from entering into City Hall. Can you kind of tell us a little bit about that?
Y'all got a little time? How much I give? I'm going to try the short version. So Emma Mitz is the alderman in Austin, the largest black community in Chicago, in Chicago, the largest population of black people. She was appointed by Mayor Daley. the godfather that almost destroyed everybody black, his son. And so he was supported by him. She's on the west right. side in Trent with all the people there. She, since she's been there, we did the Walmart construction with a black sister contract. But she's been cussing out black men for like the last 30 years. She's a real gangster. Punk men, boo-boo-boo, out the bam, and you can't tell me what to do. And we trying to get construction. So she clown black men like, oh, okay. So now she is supposed to be going to council so we get a vote on taking away sanctuary cities. So the Latina alderman who's over zoning, who's actually been getting these people in these places with the zoning, which is the power, texts her, don't come. Stay in your ward, and you can do whatever you got to do. That is a Latina. She's a senior legislative official with a new zoning person as an alderman. Tell a black woman in a black ward with seniorship, she should stay where she is, take out the bitch, don't come downtown. And so word happened that she didn't see the text. And so they was trying to keep it from being a quorum. So some of the aldermen called in. They didn't need nobody. So she was coming in, didn't see the text. So when she gets to the door, get ready to go, and she said, I didn't see the text. The guy, the Latino guy, standing at the door like, you can't come in here. Okay. So the Latino is telling a black woman that's been there for years, she first texted to say, stay in your neighborhood, don't come in. Now, he's in there boat guarding her that she can't get past him to come into the chamber to be an added vote for to get rid of sanctuary city. Well, meantime, at the back of the ranch, I want to say this. I love, because I'm Geraldine's son, so sisters don't get this wrong. Here's a woman that cussed us out. Dead day on construction contract for the last 15 years. And so what the brothers did, even though she didn't belittle us, talked about us, all the hard gangster brothers, Tyrone, Mark, these guys that speak truth to power, they ain't scared of the police and white people, they give to them. So they post up at the next meeting, going to stand with the sisters, Black Men United, so next Council of Social Change, they going at it. So they wait for her to stand up. With the kidney cloth on. You know, all of them, they put on kidney cloth this week. We ain't had it all last year. But we got kidney cloth at this new one. So now they got the kidney cloth. So they should stand up. The brothers stand up like, I wish a Mexican would. We all know some real live gangsters. So she gets up and gives a dissertation speech to make amends with the Latino guy that then she... They stopped her from going in, and she cussed all us out. So all the brothers ready to go gangster. She going to hug the guy that kept her from going in the chamber and left the black brothers there looking stupid.
Oh, my God.
And so we make a stand to protect our woman, and the black woman say, I love the Mexican. So back at the ranch, she apologized to him and hugged him. Oh, Jesus, we had a sister come on, sister, the kid came and went off. But my point is, all that happened. And so right now, we don't have a vote to get rid of sanctuary cities. And Brandon them just getting some money from the federal government. And they're making sure the migrants, they moved them out. Now, remember, in order to keep, this is what they did is so smooth that black women don't do, but it's a leverage that they use. They kept talking about their children come here, going to be cold. Ain't no but grown people, but a few children. So they made black people with the Church of God, Christ, and Jesus and all that. We don't want the children to be cold. Well, hell, all the black women children are undivided are cold. Ain't nobody saying nothing from the church. So now it didn't got cold. They didn't clean the whole police station out outside the tents and put them people in some hotels. So I'm going to wrap up, but this is insane. It's called post-traumatic stress, plandemic, Negro syndrome. This is what we hear. The past is crazy. I'm telling you, too, I'm just not as extreme. I'm conscious a little bit, but I don't want to wrap up time, but I need to give y'all a real report from Chicago. The killing in Chicago is because of institutional racism, shut down 150 schools, knocking down the projects, locking up Gerald Ford, Larry Hoover, and we're moving black men out of household and having women raising boys and fired 35,000 black teachers, and there's really no men in school other than the janitor, the police officer. One man is alternative lifestyle, the other's pro-black, and somebody else is five men in the whole school. Trying to help some boys at 6'4", 240, 16 years old with a 16-20 shoot. So that's the report out of the shy. Now, I'll come on with everything that I talked about. Like you say, I'm setting up direct action, so we addressed it. We're not getting the airtime, but it's real seriously bad in Chicago. Y'all keep us in prayer. And I want to add to my brother that what Sister Ibra is saying about the day of solidarity. So we have failed to use these platforms to continue the history, so we missed it. The Indian Thanksgiving Day, black people got Indian in their blood. We should have been recognized the Holocaust of the Indians because we won't reparate for our Holocaust. We should have ate our turkey saying, God, we want to recognize our brothers. Everybody got some Indian hair. Their grandmama and some kind of happened to African Indians. Instead of us saying this fellowship on our brothers being genocide, we sit and talk about thank God for turkey for our own house first. No, it's about the Holocaust first, and then God feeding you second.
Right?
You can't get reparations celebrating the Indians' Holocaust, and then you want reparations for your Holocaust. It's an oxymoron. God can't work two dumb fool situations.
That's
not
right.
In it. So what we do, my brother, 31 days, National Black Business Month, we buy black 31 days. We do Solidarity Month, the Million Man March, the only day of absence for black people that a holiday was taken by the Million Man March, and his brother was solidarity, and we down with Thanksgiving, we boycott that like the minister did, and we boycott Santa Claus, down with Santa Claus, up with Christ, and then we continue to do these things, National Black Business Month, I'm sorry, Black National Black Club University, Bad Black Wednesday. If you don't like black people 7-6 days a week, like them on Wednesday. So we add Bad Black Wednesday, 31 days Bad Black, the day of absent or by a fair condom with the day that, and Solidarity Day. And so we put all that together. So we practice it, my brother. I'm riding with you. So when we practice, we do it on micro, we do it on us, and it becomes a what you call a behavior. Because right now, we scared the bad black. We giving them people every dime we got.
That's right. That's right.
And that's the thing that they're saying, poetry. But I'm going to go back in here with a bunch of rich people. I'm at a birthday party, my friends. They're here partying like ain't nothing I said. I'm sitting out the door. They jamming. It's nothing against what they do. My friend, she's president of Blacks in Government. She won the top. But I'm saying, I'm in here with my friends. They just having a good time like ain't nobody got shot in Chicago. Everything I said, I wish I could have put a mic in there while I was partying. I'm out in the car talking about y'all crazy stuff. I'm sorry, sister. Y'all don't think I'm a group. I'm very sane. I'm Geraldine's son. Thank you so much for allowing me to share with you all the pain in Chicago. But behold, God is doing a new thing. God is destroying these things, pandemic, so that we can come out from among them, as Elijah said. He fired 30,000 black teachers so they can open up their school. God pushed us out. He tied out a project. So God is actually in Chicago pushing us out the system so that we could do for self. They trying to go back, but now's the time. God said, leave them people alone, or I'm going to destroy you with them.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, family, we're going to talk about this a little later because Brother Reeve and I had a conversation earlier, and it's about, you know, separation. And we're going to have that conversation more in depth as we get closer to International Human Rights Day because, again, as the Honorable Marcus Garvey taught us, as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us, and others, we have a right to this land. It is ours. Part of it is ours in terms of the blood, sweat, and tears here, so we're not talking about just abandoning it, but we definitely talking about we got to separate some things, and we do have some plans of action to do that. So, Brother Reeve, always appreciate you. Much love, much love. Before you leave us, just real quickly, just round it off for us, if you recall right now, how much money has the Chicago administration allocated to the so-called immigrants? Migrants or whatever. Oh, and note, family, they changed the name to migrants. And if you haven't tuned into us previously, because we gave you the reason why they changed it from immigrants to migrants, and I'll go back to that later. But Brother Reeve, if you can, how much money at this point, because we know it keeps increasing, right, roughly, how much money has been allocated to provide services? And of course, we can't even include what we don't know in terms of housing that's already been administered, but just roughly based on what we do know. What's the figure here?
I'm drawing blanks, but the last budget pass, they set out almost $165-some million. That's one phase. And then the county is giving that money. So it ain't just the city. The county is opening up for them also for housing. So it's nucleus of money. The key is Biden is coming with the convention. Biden is going to be sending money for the migrants here. So that's the deal so that we can get things settled before they come here. But I don't do the numbers well. But
why?
All the money that goes to black communities are now being transferred to people that hadn't registered to vote, can't vote. And so it's traumatizing at that level. So I have some fresh numbers for you. I've been moving around so much, but it's they cut a budget out for all these people, and all our money went up north to the north people and TEF money. Now they give it to them people. The hardest part about it is no black leadership is saying anything about it. We got some lay people. So the people that was on north protesting about the park district, they came out 300 strong every day protesting, and they tried to beat up the woman alderman. They pushed her around. They said, you get up out of here. You gonna be... So on our town, we just out there cussing and fussing and ring. We ain't got no 300 people down. There's 20 people. So our people been snatched the heart out of them. Snatched the heart out of them. But I'm getting little Ray Ray with his pants pulled down, his white T.O. and locks, who went downtown and shook up George Floyd across the country and twerked on the bus. That's who they scared of. I'm riding with Ray Ray there because this ain't making no sense. I ain't trying to be parked out. It ain't going to happen. I ain't finna get parked out. And when these people come to get us, which the white folk coming soon, I know who's going to fight. That's Ray Ray, Junebug, and Shalita, the one we keep talking about we don't want to talk to. They are not scared of white people, racism, and anybody. They are going to fight to the death. These other people are scared by losing their job. And they supervise the Mexican. And this ain't anti-Mexican, I want y'all to know. I worked with the Latino community for about 4 years with Sandoval, Marcella, who they say died planted them. He's one of the major guys. I worked with campaigns, so by no means I'm anti. But I'm telling everybody, we ain't anti-nobody, but y'all sure get in line.
I know that's right. One last question, Reeve. So you have a new congressperson? How's that working out for you?
New congress? Jesse Jackson's son, Jonathan. Jonathan is a bad man, but, you know, Jonathan's an economist. He's been a professor at Chicago State. He's been a professor at junior college. He's sharp on economics. But for to have your daddy history and take Bobby Hush spot, and then all Martin Luther King, his dad, he has seen the best of civil rights leader come through his path. So he's an orator speaking sharp, but he's not giving substance to an answer after all that wisdom, knowledge, and resume. He's just giving us rhetoric. I was with him this morning at a breakfast, and he was there. They gave him a award. He dropped it. He's also championing the agriculture bill, so I'm trying to meet with him with Black Oaks Farm Hill, which is the largest black Pembroke, Illinois. But he's sharp. His brother was a congressman, so he got his ear. His daddy's a national leader, and Danny Davis, and some of them all in the same fraternity. I forgot what the brother. I think they they might be Q-dogs, but my point is he got too much history and knowledge and understanding not to be able to give us solutions.
Right. All
and
right.
Again,
I was just curious because I know he recently got in, but like you said, he has a whole history with his father and, you know, other stuff. I was just wondering.
Much is given, much is required. He's 57 years old. He's a young, strong man, but he took Bobby Hush's office, which is in the Irish community. I got to go. I got to go.
Something as usual. You done set it on fire. Love you much, my brother. I'll talk to you later on this week. Oh, and by the way, you know we're getting ready. We coming there for August. You know we coming. I mean, not August, July. We be there for the convention. Not for the
All
convention,
right.
But you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Well, my birthday is July 2nd. They signed the Civil Rights Bill. So I was born for this. I got to go.
All right. Love you, my brother. Woo. All right, family. Well, you heard it right there. Again, that was our brother, Reuben Fellows. And he, by the way, just to give you a little background on him, this is what we're talking about, the kind of folk that we connect with that, you know, they got the paper, meaning he got 2 degrees. Right away, he got 2 degrees. He's a former athlete, basketball superstar, whatever. You know, my point is, you know, like we often say, and remember Brother Dave Richardson, who was a state rep here, you know, there's no reason, there's no excuse, there's no acceptance for folk that have all these titles or, you know, certificates or recognitions or whatever and not be a black man or woman first. See, so this is what we're bringing into the whole thing here, to make sure that people understand who we're talking about, what we're talking about, and why, and the positions that we're taking. So he's right there right now at some event that deals with some judges and all of that, because that's what we're talking about doing. We're talking about literally stacking the deck now, making sure that we connect with very specific people. This is not business as usual. We're not talking about just, you know, rubbing elbows and lollygagging with folks. No. Been there, done that. Nope. This is a different game that's now being played. And yes, it is a game. Okay. Because if you understand the nature of games, somebody's going to win and somebody's going to lose. And so obviously whatever's been going on with us, we're losing. And so we better know how we need to proceed. So anyway, that was our brother Reuben. and these are relationships that we had built over the past 10 years, by the way. This is not people that we just met last week, last month. We literally have kept building these relationships with very specific people for a reason. Okay. All right, family, listen, before we go into connect with Chairman Fred Hampton, I don't know if our mic can take all this tonight, but we're going to do it. We're going to ask you if you all have a question or a comment, a thought, before we get ready to bring in Chairman Fred Hampton Jr. If you want to share something with us, you certainly can do so. You can press 1 now. We have our brother still in queue, and so, okay, we're going to go. First, we're going to go to caller 7090, and then we're going to come back to our brother at 0059. But 7090, your mic is now open. Welcome to the segment of New Day.
Peace and love. How are you, sis?
Greetings. That's Sister Nikki. Hey, sis.
Hi, beloved. How are you?
Oh, hey. Wonderful. Good to, even better now hearing your voice.
Oh, well, I am glad that I have the opportunity to give voice. I wanted to give a little something about a brother by the name of Deondrick, Deondrick Hardy of Jasper County, Mississippi. So he was on his land, and this European approached him and told him to, you know, to get off the property. he said, this is my land. He said, no, you are going to leave this land now. He said, no, this is my property. So the European said, I'm going to go to my car, and I'm going to shoot you. So he started to walk to his vehicle, and Mr. Hardy shot at him 5 times. I think he caught 4 bullets, and he's no longer here. But, you know, I want to know if, you know, it's a licensed firearm. I want to know where the NRA at. You know, he's a Jewish Afro brother. I would like to know, you know, where all these, you know, I want to say it, as Mr. Maddox would say, the Black Caucus and the Black Republicans and the NAACP Mississippi, you know, because hearing that their water been off for a year, we're talking about what's going on overseas and so forth. Over 12 million people in the Congo have lost their lives, and children are walking around in sulfur. So they're not making it to their 10th birthday. We have, so they don't talk about the African Holocaust, Somalia. We've lost over 6 million. We could talk about Rwanda. We could talk about AT. You know, there are so many spaces and places, but everywhere where we reside as Black people, it's like they're doing a White Lives Matter at the cost of 1884, where they would like to put, you know, reestablish all the stolen lands and resources, because that's what it's really about. Malcolm always said it's about the land. And all these spaces and places that I've mentioned, it is concerning the land. You know, they put Mr. Kilpatrick in prison, they said, because he had an extramarital affair. Well, they've all had affairs. They didn't go to jail for it. And the way I see it, the people of his Flint, Michigan, and so forth, the fact that he's out of jail, they need to put that Black man right back in office. So, because he must have refused to dirty their water. 9 years they dealt with the dirty water and the dirty pipes. That is beyond poisoning. Our people are going to the grocery stores, and they're not reading. They're not taking their time. It's better you spend 2-3 hours, read every single thing. I found 11 boxes in my child's pantry. And these are some things that I would give, you know, the cereal and so forth. And it has BHT, which releases an enzyme that causes cancer. So we're eating foods, and these things are causing cancer. They're, and it says it has a bio-engineered food ingredient. So even the bags of potato chips and so forth, you can say these are serial killers. Out of 11 boxes, it was only one box I did not have to throw in the garbage. And that's what we're dealing with. You know, they're putting ammonia and bleach inside of our ground beef and the ground chicken for those that eat these things. So people are not even realizing these are serial killers.
Right.
But I'm going to let you go back to what you were saying, and I just wanted to share that, because it's not over until we win.
That's right. And ain't no doubt about it.
So they're purposely giving activists all these, not only that they have found that when you go and visit, and we're going through these metal detectors, it is actually giving us radiation. And that's what they have found. So we have one of our political prisoners that just, transitioned in the last couple of months, And then we have Imam Jamil Al-Amin, which has the same bone cancer. It's like one in a million. It turns out they both were at the same prison. And now just the guards as well was exposed to this radiation leak.
Right.
You know, so they know they're radiating us with or without our permission. So even the employees are getting radiation from. So they are biologically eliminating anyone that can give them some get back. You know, I read Cecily Tyson's book. I mean, there were some things I did not expect. But she also mentioned that she was married at the home of Bill Cosby, which is sitting on top of oil and gas. And that is why they are trying to make sure that they get rid of him every time they're coming up with this, oh, there's another, because they don't want him to have any money. They don't want him to have any voice. And he decided he would have a straight black family like Good Times. A lot of people don't realize that that woman on Good Times used to dance for Malcolm. They were the precursor before he spoke. Him and her and Maya Angelou. And these are the people that they do not want to continue because they kept them in the projects. They refused to have a straight black family, and that other reason why they don't want Cosby to have a voice. What about the black, straight black family? Where are we on television? You understand? So if you do not give the children something to look forward to, and they keep hearing about what we don't do, they have to hear our successes too. They have to have something to emulate. So I thank you so much because, as I said, we will continue because we will win.
Ashe, absolutely. No doubt about it. As you know, you mentioned our warrior attorney, Alton Maddox, and as we know, he would say, no justice, no what?
No peace.
That's right. Thank you, my sister. All right, family, that was our sister Nikki there. Okay, let's go to one more, and then we're going to bring in Chairman Fred. Let's go back to our brother, Sabir, see if he got a quick comment before we bring in Chairman Fred Hampton Jr. to join us. Brother Sabir, you got something to share with us?
Yes. What Brother stated, he rolled out the plan. You know, he rolled it out. And that's the in-between. That's what I was talking about. So we have everything it takes. We have the organized order. We have the days and the events. And all we have to produce now is the outreach and the follow-up on a consistent basis. And that's what I'm asking those that are on this phone, please hear us that on this call. Please hear us. No, this is not about you keeping this information to yourself. It's about spreading it, sharing it, and engaging others to come on into the process.
Sure. Well, you know, that's what we do, my brother. That's what we've been doing. That's why our program is very different in that, you know, we have the conversation, the dialogue, we exchange information, but at the same time, we also focus on, and here's what we're going to do, or here's what we're doing, or what have you. Our program is never just about a conversation. It's always focusing on actual work, and that's why we blend it in together. You know, we share the information. We definitely have the conversation, but at the same time, we're going to bring you folks that's doing things and or is planning to do some things, because in this day and age, if that's not a part of it, then you know, you just doing what they said, you know, continue to do the same thing over and over again, expecting different results, which is a form of insanity. And we all a little crazy, but we ain't going to keep being that crazy like that, you know. So without a doubt,
We have plans of action. And family, as you know, MWM, we have always talked about and demonstrated plans of action. And so now we're going to also start conveying, you know, who has been supportive, who have just been talking a bunch of stuff. Okay, we need to do that. Because you can't keep letting people get away with creating these facades and these other kinds of things, you know. And, again, it's okay, you know, if you're not supporting MWM or if you're not supporting AAPRP, GP, okay, that's fine. But you need to be supporting something, and I'm not talking about, you know, just some Negropean stuff. Because that's the other thing. Folks are getting away with murder. And when I say murder, part of killing the real Black Liberation Movement kind of stuff by, you know, fronting and, yeah, well, you know, I'm giving away some food. And don't get me wrong, it's a wonderful thing to give away some food and to give away some book bags and things of that nature. But come on now, we're in the 21st century. So we need to be doing a little more than that. And you can, particularly with all of the resources and other kinds of things that are out there today. It's just not acceptable that that's the nature of all you, not you all, but, you know, people. I'm just saying we have to start creating these litmus scales and so that we can make some real determinations. And I'm not trying to put anything down or anybody down. I'm just saying as we proceed, we have to begin to identify what is really lending to or helping to bring about real justice and liberation for our people, and what things are just continuing to uphold the system. Because they got that too.
Yes.
They got stuff out there that just refuels the system. And it's under the guise
yes.
of folks doing good work. So, and I'm not trying to dismiss that or create any kind of disparity around it, but I'm just saying you've got to understand the nature of the game. And the nature of the game is they're going to always make it seem like, well, you know, this is really great. This is really, and it is in one context, but does it lend to or help bring about real justice and liberation? Because if it's not that, then I hate to tell you, it's a part of the problem, and we just cannot in that manner. So let me say this.
Mm-hmm. You're sounding the bang, the trumpet is being raised, but there's also the drum. You spoke to it before. So in some other lands, right, just south of us in Jamaica, the Garden Bruins, they have a drum that they could break down and it turns into a box and it no longer looks like a drum because the enemy were confiscating our drums just like they confiscate our land, because that was the first cell phone was the drum, the vibration. It could be heard throughout the land. It could run. It could travel faster than the runners, the couriers at that time. They couried by the runners over the mountains, so and through the tunnels. So what we have to understand is that the drum speaks to our DNA. There's a message in music.
Absolutely. This is why it was illegal to play the drum in the earlier days. You could not do that because they knew it was a form of communications, and you could get into some severe problems if you attempted to do that. So it was not only illegal, it was banned here in the United States, which is why, you know, we're going to start bringing forward some of this history and information, because this is why I mentioned Olutunji. Olutunji was one of the first entities to literally bring into the U.S. traditional African rhythms. And why that was so important is because prior to that, during the 40s, 50s, and early 60s, we started getting rhythms, but they were coming in by way of Cuba, which is why there's such a connection with us here and Cuba, because Cuba kept what was known as Santeria or Santeria, and that was a form of the Yoruba, which was Nigeria.
and they kept the rhythm, the dance and the traditional songs and the rhythm. See, those rhythms that we hear even in some of the songs today, some of those people don't even know that they're playing traditional rhythms that was designated to what was known as orishas. And so the Cubans was able to keep, or the people known as the Cubans, were able to keep the traditional rhythm when the Africans were brought into that land, because the drum was in band. So they were able to keep the tradition. So this is, again, why it's so important that we make that connection with Cuba. You know, the brother mentioned it earlier, but we're going to start going more in depth. Now, we've been talking to Brother Lee Robinson, because we're planning to go to Cuba next year with and Baba Yao, and we're planning to take some students. And it is an arts and cultural exchange and an educational component, because our position is, as we start dealing with our youth, young adults, they need to, we need to take them to travel, to travel.
Yes.
So, see, again, we have to up this game now. Exactly. And so, again, to now connect those dots in such a way that we are connected. And I'll note again, here in the U.S., it has only been in the past 30 to 40 years that you've been able to literally get traditional drums. Most of the drums that you saw from Max Roach on through was all manufactured drums within the corporate structure. You could get a few kind of tourism drums coming out of Kenya and whatever, but again, they were for the tourists. They were not real drums, or what we call real drums. We just started getting real drums, djembe, bata, and others, just in the past like 30 years or so. And I'm talking about drums that were traditionally used for both dance, ritual, song, and so forth. We were able to get the traditional stuff from Cuba, primarily with Mongo Santa Maria, and then, of course, and others that did the Afro-Cuban kind of thing within the jazz fusion, which is why you started hearing Dizzy Gillespie, our Coltrane, and others started infusing, because they started traveling to Cuba. So again, this importance with Cuba is not just also political, but it's also in terms of arts and culture and day-to-day reality, the spirituality. And these are the things we're now connecting. Right. And then, of course, again, with you there in Jamaica, we're talking about the Na Benji, which is a whole other system of drumming. See, these are the things that we're getting ready to connect. The music of Fela Kuti, what was that about? What were those rhythms? Because it was more than Afrobeat, as they called it, Afrofusion, right? Those were very unique, specific rhythms, and these are the things that we're talking about bringing forward to fight this enemy. Go ahead, my brother.
I was introduced to Fela Kuti by a Rasta, my ambassador here, a man named Jesus. He's 83 years young. He's taught me from the day I stepped on the island here. And see, what we have a tendency not to realize up north, right, is who and where we are. What is the significance of where we're at? Some people from down low are what we call the diaspora here in the southern parts, right, of Central and Northern America. They call it Babylon, but it actually is Canaan land. We're in the land of milk and honey. The richest part, the four seasons, gives the earth a break and allows it to come forward. It allows it to have a rest. So therefore, it regenerates itself. So we have a tendency not to realize how valuable we are to the rest of the hemisphere and the world, because the Nile in the west, the great Mississippi, is the breadbasket of the world, and also the peninsula down there in the Potomac, right, and the Asians said if they had that, they could feed the world with fish life, you know. So we have to understand the value of what we have underfoot, and to understand that yes, as Dr. Guyana, I can't think of his name right now. It came before Columbus. We were here.
Dr. Ivan Ben-Sertima. Ivan Ben-Sertima.
Dr. Ivan Ben-Sertima. Yes. We were here, and he proved this.
Hold that point. We need to do this real quick. Hold that point.
Yes.
I need to bring Kim and Fred in. Family, if you are listening to us via internet, you're going to lose your live stream in about 3 minutes. You need to switch over to the podcast. So you need to dial 319-527-6189. Again, 319-527-6189, because you're going to lose your internet stream in a few moments, but we will continue on the podcast. Okay, so I'm going to bring Chairman Fried in so that he can join us on the podcast. Give me a moment here. I think we did that this time. I'm supposed to call him earlier. Okay, we might have missed him. Let me see. Okay, let's, I'm going to try again in a few minutes, family, because I really wanted to get him in. And if not, we'll get him in next week. That was my error. I should have called him like 10 minutes ago, but it's okay. But yes, my brother, definitely, we got it now, meaning we know now that we've got to fight this on every level, combine some of these things together. And like you were saying earlier, again, with Fela, again, each country has its own rhythms, has its own, you name it. Now to bring that together, that's going to be something else. And that's why that's what we're talking about with the Million Women World Music Initiative, bringing these components together, you see. That's going to be a power that they're not going to be able to dismiss or dismantle, because we've designed it that way. There's some things that we've been able to retain it. And again, to recap, what happened in Cuba was they were able to keep the rhythms, they were able to keep the music, to keep the dance, to keep all of that intact. It began to come over here into North America during primarily the 50s and the 60s. That's when you started seeing the Last Poets and others started using drums. Now remember, those drums were not traditional drums initially. Those conga drums were primarily manufactured drums. Now, of course, today we're using djembe, we're using bata, we're using all kinds of traditional drums. I'm going to try to get Chairman Fried one more time, family. Hold on one moment. And by the way, we're going to be teaching our children tradition. So these are some of the things.
Primo.
We got him. We got him, y'all. Hey, Chairman. How's my brother?
I'm well. I was waiting on you to call earlier, please.
I know, Chairman. But listen, I was telling the family, if we can't get you tonight, we'll definitely get you on next week. But again, I just wanted to at least try to touch base with you. You got a few minutes?
Yeah, we make it happen. Yep. We are in the process of getting people coming in. We're waiting on people to come in. People coming in town now, giving International Revolutionary Day. So we on the, around this time we get real hectic. The attacks get more intense, and we got to be on our defense. So we like less than 48 hours away from the big day.
Okay, so very brief, and then we'll get you back on next week, and you can also give us, because you got an update, you got an upcoming date coming up. Just let people know what's getting ready to happen for the observer.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Well, we come on the 54th year the assassinations of Chairman Fred and Defense Captain Demar Clark. We refer to it as International Revolutionary Day.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be convicting. We're going to start the events of tomorrow, December the 3rd. We're going to be at the those in Chicago, the center, the Nicholas Lee and in the Inglewood Center on 67th and Green, that's right up Halsted. Tomorrow at 2:00, we're giving a free food giveaway. Again, a free food giveaway. Then we're going to show the movie Judas and the Black Messiah. That's tomorrow. And then Monday morning, we're going to be having a free breakfast at that same center, 8 to 10 in the morning. Then 12 o'clock, we're going to be convening at Ground Zero, the site where the assassinations occurred at, 2337 West Chairman Fred Hampton Way. Then at night, we're going to be in Maywood, Illinois, at the center of 200 South 5th Avenue. We're going to have a sip and paint. We're going to be doing some painting of Chairman Fred at 7 o'clock p.m. We got some heavy hitters going to be on deck. People coming from all over the world. We can call as we speak. People coming in. We're going to have survivors. December 4th, members of the Black Panther Party. We got mothers and fathers, the victims of police terrorism, ranging from Jacob Blake, Tamir Rice's brother. Hey. You know, I mean, people, they come in there. We can update the indigenous community. We're going to have representatives. The thing for this year is... International Revolutionary Day acknowledges international contradictions. So with that being said, we're looking forward to representatives from the Congo, Haiti, Gaza, you name it. You know what I'm saying? So we're going to put all this together as we speak. So the energy is up. You know what I'm saying? And we appreciate you, appreciate the listening audience. You know what I'm saying? Get the word out. If they can't be here physically, just move the flyers to y'all. I'm gonna text them to you tonight, Empress. And retweet, post it, let everybody know where we're at. Just give the solidarity, 12 o'clock Chicago time, Monday. Clinch fist salute in the air.
All right. Chairman, is anything going to be, I know it is, but whenever you get some information on the Facebook or anything on Zoom, make sure you get me that and we'll start getting that out.
We definitely will. And I just want to just shout out to Clinch fist salute to everyone. Comrade Pam African, so many of them for the phenomenal event that was the other day in regards for the fundraiser for Sekou Odinga and others. It was a powerful event, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, we got to be there for those who be there for us, you know, and this soldier, Sekou Odinga, definitely, you know what I'm saying, he's there for us. And let us not fall off one bit on our relentless demand and keeping, you know what I'm saying, the campaign, the Free Mumia Abu Jamal, in all political prisons.
Chairman, next week will be good because next Saturday to get you on, that's the actual day, that's December 9th. And so, we'll be talking about Mumia next Saturday, too. So that'll be a good time to get you back.
We're looking forward to it.
All right, my brother. Give thanks. Okay, I'll touch base with you later on this week. I also just talked to Brother Reed, so I'm going to let him make sure he gets the information because, you know, he's out there in the streets. Right. Yeah, just talk to him.
perfect.
All right, now. Perfect. All right, my brother, you go ahead on. I know you're running, but I'll talk to you next week.
Love and respect, Empress. Right on.
Back at you, my man. All right, peace to you. All right, family. Again, we was able to get Chairman in for a few minutes. That was my error, so we'll get him back next week, of course. And as you all can tell, you know, we're not playing. We know what to do. We know how to do it, and we're now doing it. We have been talking about things for a minute, and we've been putting these pieces together, and so now you're getting ready to see the manifestation of it. This coming week is going to be very, very important. We're gearing up again for International Human Rights Day. We're going to kick things off on Saturday, next Saturday, December 9th. That, of course, we'll be doing our radio program, but it will also kick off a week-long of activities. Starting on Saturday, we're going to put our student cadre together for the We Charge Genocide 21. We have the student union component that we're putting together because we want to make sure that our students and young adults know what we're talking about. What is human rights? What is reparations? Another brother said that, you know, he's tired of the word reparations, but that's okay. We still got to do what we have to do, and we get ready to do it. Again, we're getting ready to train educate and edify some of our young adults and students. And so we combine it together because all young adults are not necessarily students per se. And so, again, you know, we're very clear about that. So we'll tell you more about that next week. There's some special sessions for them, and they will be talking about one of the issues for the We Charge Genocide 21, which is the student loan debt. Also, we're looking at how to prepare them for political offices. And again, you know, we're not advocating that whole thing, but we definitely have to make sure they are educated about the system, how it works, et cetera. Starting in January, we should be going on YouTube, which will feature what we call Poli-Sci 101 for our people, which is Black Political Science 101. So that our people can begin to know what this stuff is, how it operates, what is this, what does the registrar's will supposed to do, what does the sheriff do, what does city council do, what does an alderman do, what are these things? Because we keep assuming that the masses of our people really know what's going on with this stuff. They're voting for these people, but they don't even know what responsibilities they're supposed to be doing. Anyway, we're going to fill in some of those gaps. So listen, family, we're going to get ready to close out. If you have a quick comment or a thought that you want to share, we're going to give you that opportunity to do so. We are now in our 14th, almost 15th straight year of doing this radio program. And so, you know, what we're asking people to do is to, you know, let's do some comparative analysis. As we proceed, you know, we have to begin to ask people, you know, what are you doing? What is this? Because there's some things that's getting ready to happen, and we want to make sure that people are able to really weigh it out accordingly, appropriately, because the Ma'akik epoch is coming upon us. We've talked about this before. Now we're getting ready to see it. And I think Sister Nikki mentioned it earlier. Brother definitely mentioned it earlier. You know, some things getting ready to happen. It's showtime, for lack of a better terminology. So again, if you have a quick comment or thought or whatever that you'd like to share with us, by all means, you can do so now. Brother Sevier, you still there? You have something you want to close out with?
Yeah, I want to say something in relationship to the brother, the word reparation, right? We hang on words sometimes, but just look at it like this. It's our inherent right, whatever it is, or whatever the number is stated, it should be more. It's almost an unlimited number because the amount of destruction of our people, right, and our communities, right, and the base value of this society as it is now that we built off of our captivity and our brutality, us being brutalized. And it's all part of genocide, all these things. Food poisoning, water poisoning, all air quality, putting our communities and dumping toxic waste in our communities, right? All these things, as us being an indigenous people, I am a true native, an indigenous being, a natural moreover, right? So we don't have to prove these things. We know these things. So the victim does not have to prove anything. The perpetrator has to prove his innocence. The documentations throughout history speak against them. Their own handwriting, their own records and recordings that they're now trying to burn, all the archives, trying to destroy all the microfilms and everything. And we need to approach these situations and make sure that this doesn't take place because the genocidal maniacs are still at work. They never stop. So we need to put our community on high alert.
Well, I say you're absolutely correct, and these are things that have been said now for at least a decade. And so the thing for us now is to just now do it. And we will continue to advocate and continue to say these things, but at the same time, we now have got to come up with the plans of action that is going to literally get the job done. You know, those who have come before us have already demonstrated it. You know, a big salute, as Brother Chairman Fred Hampton Jr. just said, in recognition of the murder of his father, which is coming up in a couple of days, that they kick things off tomorrow. Again, these are things that our people have been saying for quite a while. But again, you know, and we've seen people doing the things, which unfortunately for some got them killed. You know, Mumia is still incarcerated after 40 years for standing up. Mm-hmm. Chairman Fred, of course, was murdered. You know, we just talked about Sunda Ada Ikoli, who was a part of the Black Liberation Army, also a part of Sister Sada Liberation. Again, we've had people in our midst who stood up. Now it's up to us, because they've already shown us the commitment, the work, the capability. We just recently lost Dr. Matula Shakur, and we know of his brilliancy, of him establishing a facility 50 years ago to service our people in the city of New York in particular. But now, you know, some of his students are all over the country still doing the work. So, again, it is up to us now to come up with the actual actions that's going to do these things. That's where we're at now. That's what the new day is about. Family, we thank you all again for tuning in, and we certainly appreciate all of what you do. We'll be back next week, same time, of course, 10:30 p.m. Please feel free to share the information. We now have a new affiliate. It is Black Power Radio. Black Power Radio, our brother Akbar is host, and they come on every Sunday and Monday at 8 o'clock. And so, again, you know, you can tune into them, again, at Black Power Radio. And listen, there's more to come, family. That's what we've been trying to tell folks for quite a while. We are not only on the move, we are the move. the move in terms of the movement, all right? You know, we appreciate those who have come before us, and we are obligated to, you know, to continue their work, to uphold the justice of our ancestors. We are obligated now to do that. So family, listen, we're going to close this session out. If you want more information about anything that we've discussed tonight, or if you want to get involved in our movement, or some of what we're doing, or some of what you just heard about, please feel free to reach out by emailing us at nationalmwm@aol.com. Again, nationalmwm@aol.com, or you can text me at 267-636-3802. Again, 267-636-3802. Until next time, we're telling y'all, it's time to wake up for those who aren't. And for those who are, y'all know what time it is. You know what you got to do. For those who think they're going to keep getting in our way, well, I can tell you firsthand, y'all in for a big surprise. Some things is getting ready to happen to move the Negro peons and others out of the way. Because this is what time it is.
No more faster thinking, time for thinking again. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. Get no better if we just Let it be. Whoa, won't get no better. We gotta change it now, just you and me. Wake up.